Holding Zion on the Bays, the second Mishnah. We're in the middle of the series of Ein Bein Mishnayos. Namely, we had one Ein, we had involved on the Bays, Ein Bein Adar Rishon Lo Adar Hasheni, that there's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni except Kriyas and Megillah and Matanas Lev Yonim, which we said there's two possibilities. Either the Mishnah means that, in fact, there's no difference as far as the Dalad Parashias, that the Dieved, you read them in Adar Aleph, then it's fine. Or we said that, in fact, the Mishnah is not implying that, and it's only saying that there's no difference between the 14th and 15th of Adar Rishon and of Adar Sheni, except for Kriyas and Megillah and Matanas Lev Yonim. In other words, both of them are also the Hesped of a Tainus. So because of that, now we're digressing to talk about a whole bunch of other unrelated dinim that begin with this formula, Ein Bein this and that, Ella such and such. So we had yesterday the one about Yom Tov and Shabbos. So here's another one. Ein Bein Shabbos the Yom Kippurim. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur as far as the punishment. Now again, in each of these, we don't mean there's no difference at all. There's many differences. We mean in one particular area, the same way as with Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. We said in one particular area, namely the 14th and 15th, there's no difference except such and such. When we said between Yom Tov and Shabbos, there's no difference, we meant as far as what kind of melachos are mutter. So now, Ein Bein Shabbos, the Yom Kippurim, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur as far as the punishment for a person who breaks them. The difference is that if a person is machal Shabbos b'mezid, then he's punished by people, we get skila. Whereas if a person breaks Yom Kippur on purpose, eating or doing malacha or whatever, then he gets kares. So the Gemara says, hold in tashlumin zevezeshovin. So the implication seems to be that when it comes to paying for damage that a person did, then it would be the same thing, and the person either way is potter. Namely, we're going to introduce over here the concept of kumlei b'derabimine. We have the concept that if a person damages somebody else's property, but in the course of that, they're also doing something that makes them chayiv misa. So we say the fact that they're chayiv misa makes them exempt from paying. They get the greater punishment. So now we're saying that the same thing applies to the kares of Yom Kippur. Mani masnisin Reb Nechunya ben Hakana. So who would our Mishnah be like is specifically according to Reb Nechunya ben Hakana. The Tanya, Reb Nechunya ben Hakana. He held that Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos as far as having to pay for damages. Say, for example, a person set somebody's stack of grain on fire. If he did that on Shabbos, everybody agrees he's going to be potter from paying for the grain because he's going to be chayiv misa, he's going to be chayiv misas based in for breaking Shabbos, and therefore that exempts him from paying for the grain. Reb Nechunya ben Hakana says the same thing is true as far as Yom Kippur. Ma Shabbos mischayev benafshei. Just like when it comes to Shabbos, he's chayev for his own life because he's chayev misa. Upotem in tashlumin, and therefore he's exempt from paying. Af Yom Kippur mischayev benafshei. Upotem in tashlumin. Now the Chachamim disagree with him. So they say that this p'tur of kamlei b'derabimineh only applies to misas beistin. So according to them, he would be chayev on Yom Kippur, so our Mishnah wouldn't fit according to them, only according to him. Okay. The Gemara says, here's another thing. Let's see if we can demonstrate the following, another unrelated din from our Mishnah. Speaking of Kares, Tanan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Matthias, Kol chayev krisis shaloku, anybody who was chayev kares and got malchus, niftiru midei krisasan. So say, for example, in other words, that anything that's chayev kares involves a lav. The Mishnah at the beginning of Krisus lists 36 things that a person is chayev kares for. The Rambam actually expands them to 43 because he breaks out some of them. For example, you have some of them involve certain arayas, which the Mishnah considers all in one category, and the Rambam breaks them out into their subdivisions. Anyway, most of them are lavim. So suppose a person is about to break Yom Kippur, for example. So like this, if Edom didn't warn him, then we said he'd get Kares. Suppose that Edom warned him, and is he going to get Malchus for that? So any chayvik krisis that got malchus niftiru midei krisasan, then they're potter from kares, then Hashem is not going to give him kares anymore. Shenem of a nikla chicha la'enecha, as the pasuk says about malchus, your brother will be degraded in your eyes, meaning it's warning not to give too many malchus so he doesn't become degraded. But we learn from that that the malchus itself is a degradation. Kivin shalaka, as soon as the guy gets malchus, niftiru, hareyu kachicha, then he's like your brother again, meaning that he's not chayiv kares. The whole point of kares is the neshama is cut off from the Jewish people. So now he's like achicha, now he's restored to the status of your brother and he doesn't get kares. Divrei Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. Now, the Mishnah over there just brings it as a Stam Mishnah, but there's actually a Braisa then, the pastors that we're quoting, that says that Rav Chananya ben Gamliel says this. But Omer Rav Yechanan, Chalukin Olav Chaverim are Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. You should know that Rav Chananya ben Gamliel's Chaverim disagree with him and say that we don't give him Malkus for such a thing. He gets Kores, and that's that. Omer Rava, Amri Bei Rav, so Rava says, well, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, that we can show that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Chananim and Gamliel, and that our Mishnah goes like them. Because Tanena, we learn in our Mishnah, Ein ben yemek kapurim l'shabbos, elash ezez doni b'dei adam ezez doni b'ikaris. We're saying that that Shabbos, a person is punishable by Beis Din, Yom Kippur, a person is only punishable by the Beis Din Shomayla. The Im Isa, now, if we follow Rav Chananim ben Gamliel, Aidi v'aidi b'dei adam, then both of them involve a punishment b'dei adam. So the fact that our Mishnah says that one is Bidei Adam and the other one is not implies that our Mishnah disagrees with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, which validates what Rav Yochanan is saying, that the other Chachamim disagree with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel. On the other hand, Amr of Nachman, on the other hand, Rav Nachman says not necessarily. Homani Rav Yitzchaki. You could say that maybe in general the Chachamim do agree with Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, but our Mishnah specifically would be like Rav Yitzchak. He specifically says that when you have a lab that involves kares, then even if they gave him hasra for malchus, then he doesn't get malchus. The other chachamim don't necessarily have to agree with him. D'tanya, as we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, chayve krisis bechlal hoyu. There was a general rule in the Torah about people who are chayev kodesh. Namely, the Torah lists in Parshas Achrimos, we read it on Yom Kippur afternoon, a whole list of arayas. And at the end of it, it says that anybody who does any of these, v'michrasu anafoshes ha'oises, anybody who does any of these is going to get kodesh. So v'loma yotzes kodesh ba'choisei. So why in Parshas Kedoshim, when it relists the arayas, and many of them, it says the punishments for them. So many of them are chayiv misa, but so fine, it relists those in order to tell us the chayiv misa for each one. But then it mentions that if a man is mezana with his sister, and it says there that they get kodesh, so why does it spell that out? Why does it mention that again? If we know already from the end of Achrimos that they're chayiv kodesh, means laduna b'kodesh v'lo b'malkus, means to come and tell us that they get judged with kodesh, not with malkus. Even though even they gave them hasra, still they do not get malkus, only kodesh. Now Rashi points out the pasuk in Kedoshim does also relist a nida, and says that that a man and woman who have relations when the woman is nida is chayiv kares. But there, that's different. The Torah there is adding a detail that we don't know from Parshas Achrimos. Namely, it says there was makora hera, and we learn from there the concept of hara, that when they only do the initial stage of bia, already that's enough to be chayiv them. We wouldn't have known that from anywhere else. But by the sister, there's no real chiddush in the pasuk except for the fact that they get kares, but we already know that. So therefore, it comes to teach us, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that they only get kares, never malchus. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos learns that everybody, it means like this, everybody who's chai of kares would have been included in malchus. Because again, what does a person get malchus for? For a lab that involves an action. Well, almost every one of the krisus, except for those two, there's Pesach and Milah, which are mitzvahs aseh, but fine. All the ones that are loisa says, there's always a lav involved, and that lav by rights should make them chayiv malchus, and instead the Torah is saying that some of them are chayiv kares. So therefore, why specifically by the sister it mentions kares. So therefore, what it means is that Tosfos learns what the Gemara said, what Rabbi Yitzchak is saying is not only is not only does it mean that there's kares by the sister, it means, well, so Rashi is saying that, again, it's an example of loy lamed al atzma yatsa el lamed al klal kulo yatsa. Once we see that there's a chiyuv kares by there, then it means kares, not malchus. So the same way it means by all other chayvik krusas. Tosfos takes it a little bit differently. It means once we learn that every chiyuv krusas should have involved malchus. And instead it singles her out, then it means in that case, and in every other case of Kares, there's only Kares, no Malkus. So they arrive at the same thing as Rashi, but by a slightly different route. The point is, Rabbi Yitzchak says, we learn from that classic, that there's no Malkus when it comes to Chiyuvei Kares. So our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yitzchak. It doesn't have to mean necessarily like Rabbi Yechanan says, that the other Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Hananiah ben Gamliel and say that if the guy was given Malkus, that he shouldn't be potter from Kares, maybe they agree that he is. Rav Ashi says you don't need all of that. Afilo Temer Abanan. You could even say our Mishnah does go according to the Rabbanan. Against Rav Yitzchak, who say that there could be Malkus if they gave Masra for Malkus, but it still doesn't force us to say that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Hanani ben Gamliel, because Ze Ikos Doinabi De Adam, Ze Ikos Doinabi Koris, because the Mishnah may not be talking about that in every case, there's no case of Zodin of Yom Kippur that involves Bide Adam. It means the main punishment that a person gets for violating Shabbos is Bide Adam. The main punishment that a person gets for violating Yom Kippur B'mezid is Kardas. Yes, there could be a case where instead he gets Malkus, but that's not the primary case. So therefore, we don't have... That's the point. In other words, that was why the fact that Malkus is B'diadam is why we thought that our Mishnah has to be implying that there's never Malkus by Yom Kippur. Which would imply either that our Mishnah is like the Chachamim who disagree with Rav Hanani ben Gamliel, or that it's like Rav Yitzchak. Now Rav Ashi is saying no. The Mishnah just means that the main thing, a person that the in most cases when a person breaks Yom Kippur, then he's getting Kares. There can be the rare case where he gets Malkus, namely where they gave him Asura from Malkus, and then he would get, and then like Rav Hanani ben Gamliel says, he would be potter from Kares. But the Mishnah is not addressing that because the Mishnah is talking about the regular case. Okay, the Mishnah goes on to say, the next Mishnah, Ein Bein Ham. Now we're going to deal with things having to do with the halachas of Nedarim. The order of these Mishnayas, I'm not sure. I mean, we have a couple of Mishnayas that have to do. We have a couple that have to do with Seder Moed. We had the ones about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni and Yom Tov and Shabbos and Yom Kippur. Now we're going to have a couple about Nedarim. Then a couple about Dinei Tuma V'Tara, about a Zov and about a Metzora. Then we're going to have one about Sforim, Tefillah, and Mezuzahs, which doesn't really belong specifically to any one of the Shisha Sedarim, because the details of those dinim are kind of scattered throughout Shas. And then we're going to have a couple about Kodeshim. Why particularly that order? I haven't found anything. I haven't found anything yet. It doesn't really fit with any of the common orders of the Sedarim of Mishnayos. You have the two. You have the standard order is Zman Nokat, Zroyim Moed Noshim Nezikin, Kodeshim Taris. But here we're putting Taris before Kodeshim. The other one, Nezem Katan, where they start with Nezikin, Zroyim, Moyed, Kodshim, Taris, and Nezikin. But I don't know if we're really following that order either, because Noshim is the last one, and then Noshim or Nezikim is the last one, the Nun, and here we have Noshim, we have Nedarim in the middle. Anyway, the Mishnah says, now you can have a case where a person makes a neder not to have hanah from somebody else. And there's two ways that they could formulate it. They could say, I'm making a neder that I am also to have hanah from you. You can also have vice versa, where the other person can say, I'm making a neder that you're also to have hanah from any of my possessions. So that would be mudra hanah mechaveder. Then you can have where you say specifically, I'm making a neder that I'm not going to have any hanah from you that has to do with food. So what's the difference? The Mishnah says the only difference is ela drisa saregel. The difference is that in the first case, he wouldn't be allowed even to walk into the person's property. But whereas if he's mudra mimenu meichel, he would, because that has nothing to do with food. But kalim she'en osin ban oichel nefesh. And also in the first case, he wouldn't be allowed to borrow kalim that are not used for food, whereas in the second case, he would. So for example, let's say, so a person makes a neder, I'm not going to have I'm not going to have on Nos Michael. So you would be allowed to borrow from him, let's say, a pen in order to write something. That has nothing to do with Oichel Nefesh. So the Gemara says, hold it, you need Kalim Shoisim Ben Oichel Nefesh, Zebezesh Shovin. Okay, so the implication is that things that are used for Oichel Nefesh, then they're both Osir. Now, the point of that is, Rashi refers to over here to a Gemara in Nedarim, where of course it deals with this in much more detail, that now there were some places where the minhag was that even the usual way of doing things was that even such things that are not for Oichel Nefesh, people would rent them out rather than lending them out. So in such places, for example, you wanted to borrow a pen from somebody, they would rent it to you for a certain amount of time. Maybe not a small thing like a pen, I don't know, whatever. Larger things that are not used for Oichel Nefesh, the custom in some places was to rent them. Well, renting involves money. So therefore, if you're lending it to him for free, it comes out, you're saving him money. That money could be used to buy food. Therefore, it's a hana that leads to Oichel Nefesh, and therefore that would be also even in the second case. So therefore, we have to be talking about a case where ein maskirin, where people anyway lend these things out for free. So therefore, you're not giving him any hana that would possibly lead to Oichel Nefesh. So now the point is, kalim that are used for Oichel Nefesh, even in places where they don't rent such things out, nevertheless, you can't lend it to him because that directly leads to Oichel Nefesh, because now he can use it. You lent him a sieve, for example, to sift his flour or whatever. Now he can directly use it to prepare food. And we said in the Mishnah Drisa Sarego that a difference between them is as far as Drisa Sarego, that the other person is allowed to set foot in your property. So the question is, even if they're mudrana altogether, why should that be also? Hola kapti inchi. Most people are not makbid on such a thing. So Tosfos says, what we're talking about over here is, for example, we're talking about in a valley full of fields. So you have a field over there. Right now, your field is uncultivated anyway because it's out of season or whatever. So most people don't mind if somebody else walks into that property. It's anyway unused right now. But Tosfos says, in other words, when we're talking about a person's chotzer or a person's house or whatever, they are sure a person would be makbid. Rashi may disagree with that because Rashi says in the Mishnah, also likonis the beisai, that he's not allowed to go into his house. And if the Gemara is asking on that, then the implication is people might not even mind that. In other words, if somebody is just passing through your house or your chotzer or whatever, your house would be, let's say, for example, you sometimes had arrangements. For example, they're discussed a lot in Gemara Eidavin, where let's say, for example, your house is actually a passageway for other people who live in houses further back from the street. What? Yeah, so you have tenants in common, or you have more like an easement, like your house is an easement for somebody else. So the question is, so generally speaking, a person is not going to be makbid on that because he knows to begin with when he bought the house that it's going to be that way. Or fine, even if we're not talking about the house, we're talking about the chotzer, let's say, fine, most people aren't going to mind if somebody else uses their chotzer as a shortcut or something. So why, even by mudra hanor mechaberei, would such a thing be also? And the answer is, Amar Rabba, Hamani, Rabbi Eliezer. The answer is, our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Eliezer, Dama Vitur also, but more to Hana. He says, when you have one person makes a neder not to have Hana from somebody else, then even Vitur, even the normal kind of thing that a person would be Mavatur to somebody else and say, you know what, I'm not going to bother, I'm not going to mind it because it's such a small amount or it's just a momentary thing or whatever, such a thing, Rabbi Eliezer says, is still also by a Mudur Hana. So in other words, even something like that, a regular person wouldn't care if somebody else uses his chotzer as a shortcut. And the Chachamim there disagree with Rabbi Yezer and say that even by a mudra hana, such a thing would be mutter, because they say only a hana of the kind that a person would normally charge for this kind of hana or something like that, or a person would expect you to return him the favor or something, that would be also. But something like this, vitur, where everybody just gives it away and doesn't even think twice about it, they would say is mutter. Rabbi Yezer disagrees and says not even that. So therefore, the result is that with a mudra hana, you're not even allowed to walk into his property. Different Rishonim discuss the question whether the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer or not. On the one hand, we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Eliezer here. On the other hand, he is a Das Yachid. So different Rishonim disagree whether the halacha is like him or not. Okay. Another thing involving Nedarim, the Mishnah says, Ein bein Nedarim lo Nedavis. There's no difference. Now, when you're saying I'm going to bring a korban, there's two possible ways that you can formulate your words. You can say, Hare olai korban, I obligate myself to bring a korban. So then, as we're going to say in the Gemara, the chiyuv of the korban is on his shoulders. And therefore, so now later on, as we're going to say in the Mishnah, now later on, when he designates an animal for a korban, if he doesn't end up being able to bring it for a korban for whatever reason, then he has to bring another one. The chiyuv is on him. Versus the other way of saying it would be Hare Zeh Korban, where to begin with, he goes over to an animal in his flock and says, this one should be a korban. That kind of thing is called nedava. So the Mishnah says, Ein bein nedarim lo nedavas. There's no difference between between nedarim and nedavas. Elasha nedarim chayev b'achriyosan. The difference is if a person makes a neder, then he's chayev b'achriyosan, meaning that he's responsible to make up for it in case it got lost or stolen or developed a mum or what have you. As long as he did not bring it as a korban, he has not fulfilled his neder. Therefore, he has to bring another one. Or nedavas, ain't a chayev b'achriyosan. Whereas with nedavas, not, because he said this animal should be a korban. Well, this animal is no longer available. Therefore, there's no more chiyuv on him. Tosfos actually points out that now you have another difference as well. If you say nedava, then you're able to bring it from Maaser Sheni money. As opposed to a neder, when you say a neder, then it has to come from Cholin, because once you said the neder, means you have an obligation on yourself, then therefore you can't be yotzi, your obligation, with something that doesn't belong to you, namely Maaser Sheni. Okay, Tosfos says that we're talking about a korban that was already designated. So there's no difference between the avoida of them. And as we're going to say in the Gemara, there's no difference between as far as the din of Balta Acher. That's in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara talks extensively about the fact that you have a certain amount of time that you have to bring the korban before you're over on a lot. But we're not talking about before you separated them. Tosfos says there's many differences. Tosfos also says with this and in general, with all these Ein Bains, we can very well say Tana V'Shaya. The Tana, again, is not listing all the differences between one and the other. He's listing one salient difference between one and the other, but we're meant to understand that there may be others as well. So the Gemara says, hold in Bal Ta'achar, Zev Zeh Shovin. So the implication is that Bal Ta'achar, they're the same thing. Now the mitzvah Bal Ta'achar, the pasuk starts off, it introduces, Ki Sidur Neder L'Hashem Alekecha. If you make a neder, then Lo Yisa'achar L'Hashem. So we wouldn't know from that pasuk that it applies to Nedava, but the sugya in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, which we learned a couple of months back, goes through in detail how we learn from the psukim over there that it applies to Nedava and that it applies to many other things as well. So therefore, yes, it does wind up applying to Nedava. And if the person made a Nedava and now didn't pay it off, didn't bring it to the Bais Mikdash within a certain amount of time, then he's over on the Sisser. Okay. The Gemara says, Tnanho. So now we learn in a Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Kinyan, Ezu Neder, what is the definition of Neder? Is Ha'omer Hare Olai Oila. A person says, I am obligated to bring an Oila or any other korban. A nedava would be where he says, this animal is an oila. What's the actual difference? So as we said in our Mishnah, if he designates it as a neder, then if it dies or gets lost or stolen or lost, then he's responsible to make it up because the chiyuv is still on him, as we're going to say. Nedavas, mesu, enignivoyobdu. So, and where's Nedavas? He's not. So, Menohani Mili, where do we know this from? So, the Tanan Abanam, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Venirtza loy lechaper olav, the Pasuk says that when a person is going to bring a korban, it will be accepted for him to be mechaper for him. So, what's this word olav? Reb Shimon Emma, Escha olav, the kind of obligation that is on him, Chaya Bachri Yosai, then he's responsible to make up for it. So he's dashing the pasuk. In other words, Venirtza loy, it will be accepted for him when he gets the kapara, when the korban is brought, then he's nirtza. But before that, not nirtza. But when does that apply? Only when olav. The Escha, ain't it olav? When it's not on him, ain't it Chaya Bachri Yosai, then he's not responsible for it. So Gemara says, my mashma, where do you see that olav means that he accepted the obligation? Because when he says Hare Olai Oila, command the Torah Nakas Fei Dami, we treat it as though that neder is resting on his shoulders. He made a neder. It's now a chovas gavra. It's now an obligation that rests on him as an individual to bring that korban. And therefore, the pasuk can describe that as olav. That literally, it's something that's lying on his shoulders, waiting to be taken off and discharged. So therefore, that's what we're saying, that therefore he's chayav b'achri yosei until the actual korban is brought.
I don't understand the additional four words. point of the addition that we just added to all of them was on the guy, not on his hood.
So all of them, because on the face of it, on the face of it, all of them, the pasuk means on his behalf. The kapara is done on his behalf. But now we're saying that it also has the additional meaning of literally something that's resting on him. Namely, that once he made this neder, we consider as though it's resting on his shoulders like a burden that he has to take off and deliver to where it's supposed to go. Namely, in this case, he has to deliver the korban to the Beis Hamikdash and see to it that it gets brought. Okay. Now turning to things of Tumah V'Tahara, the Mishnah says, Ein bein zav haroya shtei re'iyas l'roya sholosh. There's no difference between a zav who had two emissions and a zav who had three. So a zav is a person, he has a certain kind of emission from his male organ. It's somewhat like shichvas zera, but not exactly the same. It's off-white instead of white. It's loose. It's looser in consistency. It comes without arousal before it. It's some kind of sickness. Whatever, the Torah tells us that if a person gets it one time, then he's just considered like a Baal Keri. He just has to go to the mikveh, have head of Shemesh, and that's that. Once he has two of them, or Rashi mentions, you have a whole Masech, the Zavim, that talks about these details, but Rashi mentions it can also be, I mean, the two can be on two subsequent days, so like one on Sunday or one on Monday, or you can even have one long one that's long enough to be considered in Halacha the equivalent of two, where there's enough time in the middle to have gone to the mikveh and dried off, whatever. So then he's considered a zav. Now he has the halachas of a zav, which, as we're going to say in the Gemara, includes, for example, the fact that anything that he sits on or lies on or whatever, anything that he sits or lies on or puts his body weight on or whatever, which is meant to carry his weight, becomes tome, becomes an avatoma. You have the whole concept of amoid v'nasim alachtenu, where you have, for example, he sits down, let's say, you know, he takes a garbage can, turns it upside down and sits on it. That doesn't become tome, because we tell him that's not the primary purpose of a garbage can. We tell him amoid v'nasim alachtenu, get up, we want to use it for our work. But we're talking about if he sits on a chair or a bench or even a multifunction thing. You have the whole perek. Shloisha Trisin Hain that an oval and a person during the 11 months and then on Yotzeit learns that goes through these kinds of things. Where for each kind of keli, you have an example where it's tomei midras and an example where it's not. So all those things apply to a zav who had two reis. Then you have, if he has a third re'iyah, or again, it means, in other words, a third re'iyah on the third consecutive day, so Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, or again, it can mean that he had one long one that's the equivalent of three, etc. Anyway, then he's not only that, so we say in the Mishnah, ela korban, the difference is that the one with three re'iyahs has to also bring a korban. So the Gemara says, hold it in mishkav amoshav. So the implication is, as far as Mishkav and Moshav, as far as this point, that if he sits or lies or whatever on things, and that they become an avatoma, and that applies even if he didn't touch them. Rashi stresses it means even you had a bunch of sheets, one on top of the other, and he lies on the top one. All of them become tame. All of them become an avatoma, and omatame another person who sits on them or who touches them. So that applies equally to both, or Sfiras Shiva, and that both a two re'iyah and a three re'iyah zav, that both of them have to count seven clean days and then go to the mikveh. Zev is Eshavin, so then both of them are the same as far as that, because the Mishnah is saying the only difference is the korban. So now, Menani Mili, so now we're going to get into the details. How do we know that? As we often find, you know, when you have something that's from a Seder, where that's from a Masechta, that has Gemara on it, then the Gemara will just knock it off briefly because we'll discuss the details of it in the appropriate Masechta. So when we had Yom Tov and Shabbos, for example, fine, it's discussed in Masechta Beitza. The Shabbos and Yom Kippur one is discussed, the whole matter as far as Kom Le'Bidirab Aminei is discussed extensively in Masechta Ksubos, where it comes up over there in connection with the case of Onus and Mefateh. And so forth. And with Nedarim, we have Masech and Nedarim, but here there is no Gemara on Zavim. Therefore, the Gemara is going to go into some detail over here of how we know these dinim. So, Menahani Mili, where do we know this from? The Tanan Abanan, Reb Simoyim, Mana Akosif Shtayim Ukroi Tomei, the Pasuk mentions twice a word with the Shurdish Zav and then calls him Tomei. Namely, the Pasuk starts off, Ish ki yi zav mibsore, zoivoi Tomei hu. So you have twice in the Pasuk a word with the Shurdish Zav and then it says Tomei. Sholish Vakari Tomei. Then the next Pasuk has three times where it says Zav and then it says the word Tomei. Namely, the next Pasuk says, Vizoistia Tumasai, Vizoivoi. Ror besore es zoivoi, oi hechten besore mi zoivoi, chum osoi hi. So there you have three times a word from the shortest zov, and then it says tome. Hoketzan, so why, if two is already two, then why would you need a third? It means shtaim l'tumah v'sholosh l'korban. It means that two of them already make him tome with the full force of a zov. The third one adds something else, namely that he's chayav a korban. Because then the pasuk calls him Tomei Hu, meaning not to say Tomei as a Balkeri. For that, you wouldn't need. Even one time is enough to make him Tomei with a lesser degree of Tumah of a Balkeri. So therefore, it has to mean that he becomes Tomei with the full force of a Zav. So the Gemara asks, Ve'ema Shtayim L'Tumah V'Loi L'Korban, Sholosh L'Korban V'Loi L'Tumah. Why? Maybe it means that two makes him Tomei as a Zav, but he doesn't have to bring a Korban. The third one then switches things, makes him that he's now chayiv in a korban, which it describes in the following psukim, but not the tumah. Now, why would we even have such a svara? The Pnei Yeshua says, because soon the Gemara is going to point out that you do have a word later on in the pasuk, mi zoivoi, which we're going to learn a certain miut from it. So maybe we would think it's memayat that a three times zov does not become tumah. And okay, you'd say it's not logical. Look at Xeris HaKosim. The answer is Amarta Achle Rosh Shavash Rosh Stein. The fact is, in order to get to three, he had to have had two. So therefore, there's no svara even to say that miut in the pasuk should be referring to that. No, necessarily it means that the third one, the mizoivoy, we're going to use for something else, as we're going to talk about soon. A three times zav is as much tamei as a two times zav. Just in addition, he has to bring a carbon. Okay. So the ema shtayim l'korban v'loy l'truma sholosh af l'truma. Maybe the other way around. Maybe it means the two times zav has to bring a korban, but is not yet tomei. Is not yet with the full force of tuma of a zav. And then a three time one has the full tuma of a zav. So sort of like your question. Maybe after two times he's only like a balkeri. Fine, he's tomei, but maybe only the lesser degree of tuma of a balkeri. A balkeri sits on a chair. The chair doesn't become an avatoma.
And therefore, we can't say our Mishnah in vain.
Right, that's the question. Right. The answer is, Lois Safadaydach, you can't think that way. Tanya, because we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk ends off by talking about the korban that the Zov has to bring, and it says, V'chiper all of our korban, the Pnei Hashem, mi zoivoi. The Pasuk says the korban should make a kapara for him before Hashem from his Zov. So that the mi zoivoi is a mute. Miktas zavin mevian korban, or miktas zavin ain mevian korban. So only some kinds of zavin bring a korban. And what would that be? Hoketzad, rosh sholosh maybe, shtayim ain maybe. So it means only if he has three re'iyas does he bring a korban, but if he has two, even though he is a zav, for all the purposes of a zav, mishkav, moshav, and so forth. And by the way, again, when we say mishkav, moshav, we mean other things as well. For example, we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, that a Zav has a special kind of tum, has a special way of making Kalim Tomei that nobody else has. Namely, if he moves those Kalim. So let's say, for example, a Mitzoda or a Tomei Mess or what have you, if they take a stick and use that stick to push something, that something is not going to become Tomei. They didn't touch it directly. But a Zav, the thing will become Tomei. It's called Hesed. That's a unique tumor that applies only to a zav. So again, when our Mishnah said El a korban, when the Gemara said that as far as Mishkav Moshev and Sfiras Shiva, they're the same, we mean the other things that apply specially to a zav as well, such as Hesed. Anyway, the point is, so we said that Miktas Zavin Mavin, and Miktas Zavin Ein Mavin, the fact that it says Mizoivoi implies that only certain kinds of zavim, so in other words, you have many zavim who have all these rules of Mishkav, Moshev, Hesed, etc., but among them, only some of them bring a korban, and that would be the three times of. So the Gemara says, Oy Eina Ela Ra Beis, maybe Ra Sholosh Eina Maybe. Maybe it means the other way around. Maybe it means only a two times of brings a korban. Maybe a three times of is potter from the korban. And the answer is, again, Amarta, Adshalei, Ra Sholosh, Ra Shtayim. Again, in order to get to three, he had to have gone through two. So therefore, there's no svara to say that having a third ziva should make things easier for him. Now, again, given that we originally started with a, given the Pnei Yeshua explains, given that we have a word mizoivoy, if we didn't use it to say about the korban, then we might have said, okay, it's not, there's no svara. Okay, there's no svara either that a person whose body is completely covered with saras becomes tahor, and yet there is a kosev that it is. But we also, but once we find that the word mizoivoy can be used for a different drasha, then already we can apply svara to say which drasha we're going to apply it to. Now, so it comes out that we have two different ways of learning that the two times of and the three times of are both tomei, but that only the three times of brings a korban. Namely, we had Reb Simoi's fact that it says twice zov and then tomei, and three times and it says tomei, and the fact that it says mizoivoy. So ve'itzrich Reb Simoi ve'itzrich mizoivoy. The fact is, we need both drashas in order to learn the din. The id mid Reb Simoi, if we only had Reb Simoi's point about two times and three times, about the number of times it says Zoiv in the pasuk, Hava Minaki Kushyan, then we would have thought, like the Kasha that we asked, that maybe it means, therefore, that the three times of is more lenient than the two times of, and doesn't become Tomei, or doesn't become Tomei to the same extent. Therefore, we have to have the pasuk mizoivoy to tell us that not, but every kind of zov is equally tomei, and only some of them bring a korban. The e mizoivoy, but if you only said mizoivoy, like yadina kama re'ias, you wouldn't know how many re'ias it takes to make him have to bring a korban. It could be two or three, it could be three or four, etc. So therefore, kamash malam de Reb Simoi, therefore we need Reb Simoi's drosha, which tells us the number. Okay. Now, if we're saying that the word mizoivo in connection with his korban is meant for the drasha, that we said that only some kinds of zovim bring a korban, what about another place where it says mizoivo? The chiyitar hazov mizoivo my darshus bay. You have a couple of psukim earlier where it says that when the zov becomes tahor from his ziva, what are you darshaning from that? The answer is hahumi boiler the chiditanya. We use that for this that we learn in a braisa. The pasuk says v'chiyitar azov. The pasuk says when the zov becomes tahor. Now, what does that mean when he becomes tahor? It means v'chiyifsek mizoivo. It means when his ziva ceases, when his ziva stops. Meaning, we don't say that he has to tovel before his seven clean days. He counts his seven clean days, then he goes to the mikveh. And when it says mizoivo, means v'loy mizoivo v'nigoy. That word mizoivoy comes to teach us that he only has to be tohu from his zoiv, not also from his nega. Suppose a person is unfortunate enough, he's both a zov and a mitzoyah. So now, as a zov, we're saying he has to have seven clean days, dip in the mikveh, and then if he was a three times zov, he said he also has to bring a korban. What happens if at the same time he's also a mitzoyah? Now, a mitzoyah also has to count a certain number of days before you can bring us, before you can tovel and bring us korbanos. So now, what if this guy was saying, so we're saying, should he be able to count the seven clean days and tovel? So maybe not. He's, after all, he is still tummy. He's still mitzvah. We're saying, no, the fact that the pasuk says mizoivoy teaches us that's not a problem. He's perfectly able to count the seven clean days and go ahead and tovel. It means that he's still going to be a mitzvah. Fine. What it means is he's not going to be matamim mishkav or moshav anymore like the way a zav does. So Tosfos points out, actually, Rashi has a girsa over here. Tosfos brings a different girsa, that a mitzvah is also that the two different gersois over here, that a mitzvah is not matami mishkav or moshav, or that it is. Tosfos explains that what it means is that a mitzvah is matame what he sits on, but only as a vlad hatuma. So the chair that he sits on afterwards, if food touches that chair, it will become tame. But if a person touches that chair, nothing happens. As opposed to a zov, a person touches the chair that a zov sat on, he's going to become tame himself. So therefore, the point is, in other words, the pasuk is telling us with the word mizoivoy, don't worry about the fact that you're a mitzora. Go ahead, count your seven clean days, tovel. That will take care of your zivus. Now at least you're not matamim mishkav moshav anymore. You may have to wait longer to bring your korban, because you can't bring a korban. If you were three times zov, you have to wait to bring your korban until your tzaras is over, and then you're going to bring korbanos for that as well. But meanwhile, at least you've taken care of that you're not matamim mishkav moshav and beheset and all these other things anymore. Rashi Rashi learns over here that he goes and counts as seven clean days, and then he can already tovel. Then already he can tovel the first tevila of a mitzvah after he gets healed from his tzaras. The Ritva learns slightly differently, that after the 7 days of the counting of for the clean days of ziva, then he'll go to the mikveh. The point is, either way, one way or the other, that'll take care of his zivos. Once he's gone through all that, then he's taking care of his zivos. Now he's not matamim mishkav emotion anymore. So that we learn from the word mizovei. Otherwise, we would have thought that he has to wait until he's clean of his tzaras as well before he can even start the process with his ziva.
First off,
more
than he counts 7 days, and then.
That's what Rashi seems to be saying. Yeah, and it also counts as, yeah, Rashi says, and that one tevila will do double duty for his nega and for his ziva. So that's so Rashi says what it is like this. So okay, Rashi says that what it is only once he does that tevila is he not going to be time in mishkav emosha. Meaning, sorry, you're right, I said it wrong. So according to Rashi, what happens is he counts as 7 days of Zav. Even after those seven clean days, he's still Matamim Mishkav Moshe until he goes to the mikveh. Rashi learns what he does is he goes to the mikveh when his tzaras is healed. When anyway, he has to go at the beginning, as the beginning of the process of him becoming Tahor from his tzaras, then he goes to the mikveh then, and that also does double duty for his tevila at the end of his ziva. The Ritva learns differently. The Ritva says, even at the end of the seven clean days, he can still go to the mikveh. It doesn't help anything as far as tzaras, but it takes care of his ziva. Yeah. In any case, that we learn from the word mizovei. And the continues the Braisa, mizovei v'sofar, when the Pasuk says that he becomes tohar from his zoiv, and he counts. In other words, why does it put those two things together, zoivei and v'sofar? Limit al zav bal shtei reiyos shetoven tzvidas shiva. From there, we learn that even a two-time zav needs to count seven clean days. So the question is, why do we need that? Shouldn't we be able to learn it from a kal v'chomer? Im metamim mishkav, not a kal v'chomer, but a mamatzinu, like im metamim mishkav moshav lo yeton tzvidas shiva. If we're saying that he has the full rules of a zav, he becomes metamim mishkav moshav and heset and so on and so forth. What makes us think he should not have to count 7 clean days? That we should need a posik to tell us otherwise. And the answer is shemeres yom k'neged yom techiyah. The answer is you could slug that mamatzinu or that kal v'chomer up by pointing to a shemeres yom k'neged yom. A shemeres yom k'neged yom is a woman who had a flow of ziva. In her case, it's not off white like by a man. In her case, it's blood, the same kind of blood as dam nida, but it comes outside of the expected time for nida. During the Gemara tells us in nida, you have 11 days during her cycle when she could potentially become a zava. She has all the rules of a male zav as far as mishkav and moshav and all that. But the din is she doesn't need svidas shivin lekiyim. What happens is she had a flow of zivus on one day. She needs one clean day after that. She had 2 days. She also needs one clean day after that. Only if she had 3 days in a row does she need 7 clean days. Nowadays, when we do that, women have a flow and they need 7 clean days. That's because we're applying the chumras of a nida and of a zava together, for reasons that the Gemara discusses in Masechta Nida. So the question was like this: given that a zav is matam and mishkav moshav, why would we think he shouldn't need svidas shiva nekiyim? And the answer is because I can show you another case of a person who is matam and mishkav moshav and doesn't need shiva nekiyim, namely a shemeres yom k'neged yom. She has all the dinim of a zav as far as mishkav moshav, but to not be matam and mishkav moshav, she doesn't need 7 clean days. She needs 1 clean day. And then she goes to the mikveh, and then that's that. So matame mishkav moshav. So she's matame anything that she sits or lies on. The ena tona svidas shiva. She doesn't need 7 clean days. She only needs 1 clean day. The af atal tismal zeh. So given that, there would be no reason for you to be surprised with a zav of 2 times. Sha'afapit shematame mishkav moshav lo yeton svidas shiva. That you could potentially think that even though he might be like a shemeres yom k'neged yom in that regard. In other words, think of it. By a zava, you have a shemeres yom k'neged yom is also called a zava katana, a small zava. Then you have a three, which he had it for 3 days in a row, which is called a zava gdola. And they were saying she needs 7 clean days. So conceivably, you might have thought the same thing. You have a zava cotton and a zava gdola. Namely, one doesn't need 7 clean days and the other one does. So you shouldn't need Sfirat Shiva. Tamad Loima Mizoyvay V'Safar. Therefore, the pasuk says Mizoyvay V'Safar back to back, which means Miktas Zoyvay V'Safar. So even though he only has partial ziva, still he needs to do V'Safar. He needs to count. Limit Al Zav Al Shtei Reis. So that teaches us that even a two times Zav, even though he's missing something that would make him an absolute. Even though he's something that was missing something that would make him the ultimate kind of Zav, namely he doesn't have the third Re'iyah that would make him Chayiv and a Korban, nevertheless, Shato and Sfiras Shiva, he still has to count the seven clean days. So by a Zav, there's no difference between a Zav Gadol and a Zav Katan. Both of them need the seven clean days, unlike by a Zava, where you have Zavak Dola and Zavak Tana, and only a Zavak Dola needs seven clean days. So that's where we learn that from the fact that it says Mizoivoy, and right after that, the word Besafa. Now, so we have like this. We said that from the different words mizoivoy, we're learning different things. From one word mizoivoy, we learned that only certain kinds of zavim bring a korban. And then we learned from the word mizoivoy, we said that on the other hand, if a person is both a zav and a metzora, then he's able to tovel, he's able to count his seven clean days in tovel and not have to worry about the fact that he's a metzora. So we said that there's two different words mizoivoy that are used in connection with the zav. One in connection with his korban, from which we learn that only some kind of zavim bring a korban. Then we had another one where we said mizoivoy is almost like a ribui. We're saying even though he's also a mitzvah, don't worry about it. Ignore your tzaras, count your seven clean days, and then once you're able to go to the mikveh, then you'll be tahor from your ziva, even though you still have the truma of tzaras. Again, one more time. You have two different mizoivoys. One is a miut, that only some kinds of zavim bring a korban. The other one we're treating almost like a ribui, that we're saying, even though you're a zav and a metzora, go ignore your tzaras for the time being, focus on your zivus, count your seven clean days, and that'll take care of things. So the question is, omaleta papal abaya, maishna hai mizoivoy demirabi be bo zav bal shtei reis? Why is it that one mizoivoy we're including also the Zav Baal Shtei Reis? We don't say that Mizoivoy, V'chiyiter Azav Mizoivoy, teaches us that this rule only applies to a three times Zav and not a two times Zav. We're saying it applies equally to both when he has Tzaras as well. Why is it with the Korban we're excluding the Zav Baal Shtei Reis? We should be consistent in how we treat the word Mizoivoy. Amalei, Sabai answers him, because like this. Because let's look first at the one. Oh, so the question was also that when we say mizoyve v'sofar means just the opposite. It means not that only some kinds of zavim have to count. We said it means that every kind of zav has to count. So forget about the mitzvah one for the moment. We're talking about, in other words, we have one mizoyve that teaches us that only a zav baal sholosh re'iyos brings a korban. On the other hand, we have the mizoivoy v'safar, where we're saying that it means that every kind of zav has to count seven clean days. So what's the logic? The mizoivoy over there should also be a miut, that only a three times zav needs the 7 days. So Amar Leih, so Abaye answers him, because if you were going to think that the mizoivoy in connection with the sfira is coming from a miut to say that only a three times zav has to count, then it didn't even need that. Lishtit kromine, the pasuk didn't have to say anything at all. You would have no basis for saying that a two times zav needs to count at all. Again, you would say you would try to learn it from a kal v'chomer, like we said before, if he's metame mishka v'moshav, surely he requires sfira. Again, shemer asiyam keneged yom techiyah. Then you would say, you would disprove that from shemer asiyam keneged yom, and say, just like she doesn't need sfira shiva nekiyim, neither does he. So therefore, in other words, so the point is, the fact that it's a ribui is because otherwise it didn't need to say it at all. Because it couldn't have said v'chiyitar azav, and we would understand it means a zav baal sholosh re'iyos needs his seven days. We would have no basis to say that a two times zav does. It'd be like a shemer asiyam k'neged yom. The fact that it says mizoivoy is meant just the opposite, to include him. Now, you're going to say, okay, but we also have the limud Adam and Aleph that we meant that if he's a Zov and a Mitzvah, that he doesn't have to worry about the Tzaraas. He can go ahead and count his seven clean days. Still, the Pasuk could have just said, when the Zov becomes Tahor, the Lishtek Mizoivoy, and not use the word Mizoivoy at all, and we would understand. It means that when the Zov becomes Tahor, meaning, in other words, we mean from Zivos. Because that's the context we're talking about. When he's Torah, as in his Zibus has stopped. automatically then we're saying you can start counting. Mizoivoi lomali. So why does it have to add the word mizoivoi? Therefore, it means limit on ba'al zov, ba'al shteiris, shetoin, sfeiras shiva. Therefore, it comes to teach us that every kind of zov, because then the next word in the pasuk is v'safar, teaches us that every kind of zov needs sfeira, needs the shiva nikki. So that's why there's no contradiction between using one mizoivoi as a miut and the other one as a ribui, because by the korban there was no choice but to write the word mizoivoi as the miut. Over here, you had a choice. Like this, without the pasuk, we would never have known that a two-time zov needs sfiras shiva nekiyim anyway, and therefore, when the pasuk puts it in, it must mean that he does need it. When it comes to the korban, there was no choice but to write mizoivoi for the miut. Otherwise, we would think every kind of zov needs a korban. When it comes to shiva nekiyim, the pasuk didn't have to write the word mizoivoi at all. If we didn't have the word mizoivoi, we would understand on our own that a two times zav and a three times zav are different. Same way as a shemeres siyam kenegan yoyim is different than a zav of gdola, and therefore it puts in the word mizoivoi and then the word misafar and then the word misafar to tell us that every kind of zav needs counting. Continuing on topics of Tumah V'Tahara, the Mishnah says, "Ein bein mitzora muskil l'mitzora muchlat." Now, when it comes to a mitzora, you have like this. A person comes to a kohen with something that might be tzoras. So depending on the situation, the kohen quarantines him for 7 days. And then he checks him. The pasuk calls that hesker, this girei ha-kohen. Most of the Rishonim learn that it means literally he locks him up in a house. Some of the Rishonim also explain that it means the Kohen draws a line around the Tzaras so they can check whether it's spread. Anyway, then at the end of the 7 days, the Kohen checks the person and sees what's the story. Do we have it? Has the Tzaras grown? Has it developed simonim that would mean, for example, two white hairs or other things that show that it's definitely Tzaras? Then that's it. The guy's a Mitzora Mukhlat. He's a confirmed Mitzora. Or if not, it turns out if the spot became lighter, or if after 2 weeks it stayed the same, etc., then he tells the guy you're Torah, and the guy goes to Nikveh, and that's that. So the Mishnah says, Ein ben Mitzora Muskil or Mitzora Mukhlat. There's no difference between a Mitzora who's in quarantine versus one who was confirmed as a Mitzora. Ela Prio Prima. The only difference is that the Mitzora Mukhlat has to do Priya. He has to let his hair grow long, or Prima, and he has to tear his clothes, as it says in the Pasuk, and a Mitzora Musko does not. So during those 7 days of quarantine, or 13 days, as the case may be, he doesn't have to do any of those things. But as the Gemara is going to say, he still has to be outside the machne, etc. And ein ben torah mitech heskel, torah mitech nechlet, ela teglachas v'tziporim. Now, what happens? Eventually, the tzaras goes away. So you can have torah mitech hesker, where he was quarantined for the 7 days or the 13 days, and then the kohen declares him torah because the tzaras hasn't spread and hasn't developed two white hairs, etc. Then you have torah mitech hechlet, namely where he was a confirmed mitzorah. He had two white hairs or whatever. He was tome for a while. Now the tzaras has healed. So then he becomes tohor. So the difference between them is ela tiglachas v'tziporim. The difference is that after hechlet, he's going to need to shave his hair, and he's going to need to, at the beginning of the process, he brings two birds, where one of the kohen shechts one of them and takes water and eats erez and whatever, and dips one of them together with all those things into the other, and they sprinkle it on the mitzvah. That you only need when the mitzvah was muchlat, when he was confirmed, not when he was musko, not when he was just in quarantine for a week or two. So the Gemara says, "Hold the Indian shiluach v'tumah zevah zeshavim." The implication is, as far as the fact that they have to be sent outside of the walled city, and as far as the fact that they have all the dinim of tumah of a mitzora, zevah zeshavim, both of them are the same thing. Whether he's in quarantine or whether he's mukhlat. So the Gemara says, "Menahani mili." Where do we know that from? So the Tani of Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Kamei de Rav Huna, the pasuk says about the case where the person is locked up for a week or two, and the pasuk says that then when the skin becomes lighter, so now when in other words when now the spot is not one of the shades that make it tzaras, the pasuk says v'tiarei ha-kohen, the kohen should declare him tohor mispachas. See, it's only a mispachas, like only like a growth on the skin or something. V'chibas begodav v'tohor, and then he has to wash his clothes, meaning he has to dip himself and his clothes in a mikveh v'tohor, and then he becomes tohor. So therefore, so it means in a certain sense he was tomei, but on the other hand, since it says b'tohar in past tense rather than the yitar in future tense means toru mitprimo mitprio prima de meikara. It means that he was toru to begin with of the prio prima that he would have had to do had the kohen declared him muhor. So therefore, that's how we learn that a musker does not have to do prio prima, does not have to rip his clothes or let his hair grow long. Amalei Rava, but Rava says, Elameata, by that logic, if you're going to say the Tahar means he was Tahar all along, in a certain sense, Gabe Zav, Dichti Bechivis Begadim V'Tahar, what about a Zav, where also the Pasuk uses the word V'Tahar, Hasamai V'Tahar Me'ikreika, over there, what kind of V'Tahar, what could you say he was Tahar from in the first place? Ella, what it means is, obviously by the Zav, when it says v'tohar, means tohar hashtim l'tamek klecheres behesit, it means that once he goes to the mikveh, after his shivanakim, then already he's tohar in the sense that now he's not metame udenware kalim by moving them. So that's what we said before, that a Zav is metame kalim by moving them even without touching them. In other words, Rashi explains what it means is, it's like this. A Zav has to go to the mikveh. He has a shivanakim and then he goes to the mikveh. As usual, after going to the mikveh, he needs head of shemesh. But now, suppose that he went to the mikveh after his 7 clean days. He goes to the mikveh by day, most tmeim do. Now, conceivably, during the rest of the day, he might have a flow of ziva again. That would make him a Zav again. But we don't say that that undoes his tvila, and therefore that in any kalim that he moved in between are going to be metame, they're not. So that we learn from the Chibas God of Atar, as soon as he goes to the mikveh, now the Tumas Heset no longer applies. If later on in the day he has a ziva, then we do say he has to restart his 7 clean days. We do say that retroactively his Mishkav and Moshav become Tamei. In other words, so if he went to the mikveh in the morning and then later that afternoon he had a flow of ziva, even just one, then it undoes his Shiva Nakim because you have to have 7 full clean days. And it means that anything he sat on between when he went to the mikveh and now is going to be retroactively tameh, but anything that he moved is not going to be. That's the v'tahar, accomplishes that. So it means only he tahar hashta, l'tama klecheres beheset. Afagav d'hadir chazi, lo'y metama l'mafreya. So even though he has a re'iyah of ziva again on that same day, still he's not metameh things beheset retroactively. Well, hochanami, the same way we could say by a metzoda. But the word v'tahar just means it means, like this, when a mitzvah walks into a building, into a room, then he's metame everything in the room. So fine, we're saying that this person who had suspected saras, where then after 1 week or after 2 weeks, the Kohen told him, you're free to go home. So it means at that point, he's not metame from now on, that if he goes into a room, he's not metame anything in the room. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he was Tahar all along, that he didn't have to do prio prima. Again, the same way as a Zav, it can't mean anything retroactive. It can't mean by the Mitzvah either anything retroactive. Ela, Omar Rabba Mehocha. Rather, Rabba says, never mind, we can't learn from the Tahar. We're going to learn from a different passage. No, he said, because there's no way that the Tahar by a Zav can be understood to be something that all along he was Tahar. The same way by Mitzvah, there's no way that we can say that Tahar means all along he was potter from something. Rather, Rava says, we're going to learn from here. The Pasuk says, Vatzarua Ashaboyha Nega, the Mitzvah in whom is the Nega, that it says he has to rip his clothes and let his hair grow long. So the words Ashaboyha Nega implies Misha Tzarati Kluya Begufay. It only applies to somebody where his status of Tzaras depends on what's happening with his body. As long as the Tzaras is on his body, he's coming. As opposed to the one in quarantine, it doesn't only depend on what happens with his body, it also depends on a certain number of days. If after the 7 days or the 13 days, the tzaras is still there, but it hasn't grown and it hasn't developed 2 white hairs and so forth, then he's tahar. The same spot is still there, doesn't matter. There is a kosev that he's tahar. So therefore, it doesn't only depend on what's happening with his body, it depends on a certain number of days. Therefore, with that, the pasuk is implying Ashaboy had nega means mish tzarate tluya begufay. The tzaras depends on his guf exclusively. In other words, a mitzora muchot, once he's confirmed as a mitzora, what makes it that now we say, now he has all what makes it that we say he's no longer a mitzora? If not enough for a certain amount of time to pass, the tzaras has to physically disappear or dim in color. So it's not one of the colors of tzaras. as opposed to a mitzvah musker, there can also be where the spot is still there, but because 13 days have passed with him in quarantine and nothing happened, then the Kohen declares him tahor. So that's not tzluy b'gufo, it's tzluy b'yamin. And therefore, the pasuk is implying that that kind does not need pre-opening. So the Gemara says, El omalei abaya, El ameata, by that logic, if you're going to learn from the word asheboy hanega, what about the pasuk says, Kol yamei asher hanega bo yitma, the pasuk says all the days in which the nega is on him yitma, he's going to become tamei. Are you going to, and you say that he has to stay outside the machna? Again, does that mean because it says asher hanega bo misha karati kluy begufo yutton shiluach, you're telling me then that only a mitzvah muchla, where it depends exclusively on what happens with his body, has to be sent out of the machna? You're going to say that a mitzvah muskur does not need to be sent outside the city. You're going to say maybe yeah. But we said they're both the same as far as they have to be sent out of the machna. They're both the same in that they're metame everything in a room when they walk into it. So therefore, yes, the mitzvah muskur has to be sent out of the city, even though it says asher hanegaboy. So obviously that kind of drasha is no good. Amalei, so Rava answers him, the difference is you may call you may the rabbis mitzvah muskul the shiloh. Because the pasuk could have said you may asher hanegaboy, and instead it says call you may asher hanegaboy. Therefore, that includes the mitzvah muskul also has to be sent out of the city. So the Gemara says, Yehochi to glach if it's upon my time alloy. In that case, why should the Mitzvah Musker not require Tiglach if it's upon him? As we said in the mission, he doesn't have to shave his hair. They don't have to do the whole ceremony with the two birds. Why not? Dikatani, and in fact, we saw in the Mishnah, Ein ben tohem techesko, the tohem techekla, ela Tiglach if it's upon him. So where would we get that distinction from? Now, there is a different gyusa. Hagoyz Abach takes out several words of my time aloy to katoni, and he says that the Gemara has finished off with that. We said, therefore, we established that a Mitzvah Musko does need to be sent out of the city, but doesn't need Prio Prima. Now we're starting a new discussion. How do we know that the Torah Mitzvah Hesko does not need to glach with the Parim? So Omer Abaya, so Abaya would answer to that. Because the pasuk says the yotza koyin amechut b'machna, the koyin should go outside the machna, beginning of parashas Metzorah, and he sees the hine nirpo nega tzaras. He sees that the tzaras spot has healed. Again, it means therefore the pasuk is saying when do you need the birds and the tiglachas and everything else that's described in the pesukim? Misha tzaratik tluya b'refuas. Again, it only applies to the kind of person who, when do we say tzaras is over? When it's healed. Yotzeze, as opposed to a mitzvah musker, she'en tzaratet tluya b'refuas ela b'yamim. Where again, as we said, it doesn't depend on it actually physically healing. It's enough that a certain number of days have passed and it hasn't grown and it hasn't developed any of the other simanim. So with that, with the words v'hinei nirpa nega tzaras, the pasuk is implying that somebody where the tzaras can still be present on his skin, but he's already tahor because enough time has passed that such a person does not need to glach if it's a party. Which is what the Mishnah had said, therefore, that he did that the mitzvah, that the Torah Mitzvah Hesker, that once the Kohen tells him, it's okay, 7 days have passed, 13 days have passed, nothing changed, therefore you're free to go. He doesn't have to do Tiglachas, he doesn't have to do Tziporim, because we can't say on him, Nirpo Nega Tzaras, because even though the Tzaras is still present, he's Torah already. Well, because the problem was that then the implication, we have the same words, Ashaboy Hanega, or Ashan Nega Boy, you have the same words in connection with Prio Prima. No, in connection with Prio Prima. In connection with Shiluach, in connection with being sent out of the Machna. And we said both kinds of Mitzvah have to be sent out. So therefore, so first we said, so Rava had answered that we say Kol Yemei. So now that's the thing. We have two different views in the Gemara. Is it that Abaya is asking in that case why you're not learning Tiglach Tziporim just as well from Kol Yemei? And the answer is because by Tiglach Tziporim you have a different mute. Or is it that we finished that discussion and now we're starting a new discussion? How do we know that the Musko doesn't need Tiglach Tziporim? Is because it says Behinin Nirpo Nega Tzaras. Shkoyach, everyone.